Welcome to Enter the Crucible.
Welcome to episode 6 of Enter the Crucible. I am Matthew.
Wasn't too sure about that.
I am Matt.
We don't need to mess up.
We don't need to mess up his intro. Do it for him.
Welcome to episode 6 of Enter the Crucible. I am Matthew, a.k.a. Mayhew, one of your co-hosts. And today I am joined by...
Clint.
John.
Fire Captain.
And Matt.
And today we are going to actually have a... episode of a podcast.
Really?
Maybe.
Really?
I thought we were just recording for fun.
We're off to a rocky start.
We are off to a rocky start. So first off, we have a what are we working on? Matt, you had something that you were working on?
Yeah, since I'm going to be playing Circle at Gen Con, which is somewhere, it's like right at a month away now, and I have yet to paint any of it. I'm going to paint all of Circle in 1 month, and it's going to be beautiful.
He says he's going to paint all of Circle in 1 month.
Such bullcrap.
Well, you're right. What will happen is I'll probably paint all of Circle in the week.
He also said he'd be here 10 today.
And then in the hotel room at Gen Con. I said what?
What?
What'd you say?
What? I didn't. I'm just listening to you.
You've got a fantastic track record.
I do.
Say done.
Well, how many times have we been at conventions and you were painting in the hotel room the night before?
I would
tell you. As long as it's done by that morning.
The low price of all of them.
Yeah. So. Yes. Especially one of those, we were going there specifically for a painting award.
What? Which one was that?
The question is, how many times have I been painting your models the morning of?
Well, you won't do that this
as
time.
You're crying.
The Adepticon team
I don't
tournament.
Think I was crying.
So, if no, I sum it up, what Matt is working on is having everyone help paint Circle? Is that?
Yes.
At okay.
8 a.m. convention morning.
Or the drive up.
I am not drive up too. Good thing I'm not going
to. So after next month, I'm going to be a Circle player because I would have painted all of his Circle for him.
Yeah, no, that's how Carter's rule works. If I painted it, it belongs to me now.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
Empire Captain, you had an off topic. What are you working on?
Well, I'm actually I'm trying to up my game at Gen Con, so I'm kind of hitting the really hardcore games such as Battlecon and Crossmaster Arena and Relic Knights. So, of our very small viewership, if there's one person.
Were you just speaking English?
That has any idea what any of those games are, that's what I'm working on.
Clint's wife won't let him play other games.
Yeah, probably. I haven't asked her yet. I haven't asked her if the guys can come over yet. But
well, maybe if you can get her down to the studio.
You guys just kind of showed up.
Yeah. Sorry, we brought wine for her, so.
Oh, yeah, by the way. Kelly! There's wine in the fridge.
The studio.
Yeah, she's at the studio.
The fridge at the studio of the podcast.
Not Clint's dining room.
Not my dining room. Have a lovely view of the china cabinet.
Okay, in the studio.
Whatever, there's precious moment stuff in there.
I didn't even notice that. I moved it in here. And
he's a good husband.
That's the last time I touched it.
All right, so what's next?
Okay, so we had a pre-recorded recap of last week's game. So we had a matchup last week. It was Rusk versus Etheria. Mr. Drew, what are your thoughts on that?
Right off the bat, I made some key tactical errors, but I really, really enjoyed getting to play with four mortars on that stupid scenario that no one else builds for.
You need more mortars.
So I thought it was a fun game, and I lucked out.
I think that game was, to me, it was like the premier example. A, I got to see a video where everybody's telling me all my mistakes that I make as a player and as a person, which is fun to watch. I think that's what the gold star you get when you get to the third game of Enter the Crucible. But that was like the prime example to me of, if you're going to have a plan for a turn, stick to that plan. because at the very end of that, I was like, okay, cool, I can actually start scoring scenario points. If I can kill the objective, I can score the scenario point. But Arusk is right there, and he doesn't have any focus, so maybe I should just kill him instead.
Maybe you should man up on the assassination. Also, I want to point out, this game's really fresh in our mind, since it only happened a week ago, and not sometime last year in my head.
This was the second game. This is the second game where I left a caster with one damage box on an assassination run.
Yeah, well, at least you got a theme going.
I think the only real key mistake you made was standing next to a defense 5 box when I had 4 mortars that were all in range of it.
I didn't even think about it. I had a focus left. I could have velocityed away from there and actually make you hit me with a blast.
Yeah, or get lucky.
It was a lonely box. You kept the company.
I did. Somebody had to.
Also, I feel that the Cray game, that one point was calculated on my part. And was all part of the master plan.
Yeah, we pointed that out, I think.
Well, we want to make a good show for the viewers.
The funny thing, the very next week in real time, I go to a tournament, I turn to assassinate a caster. I'm like, what just happened?
Aren't you supposed to leave him on one box? I thought that was your bit.
I was afraid. I was afraid it was going to happen.
Oh no, I won.
It was a butcher. We'll get into that later. Or you've already heard it. Sorry.
But I enjoyed the matchup. I like the Arusk 2 list. It's fun to take to a tournament.
All right, now we have Clint's Caster Cliff Note Corner.
Oh, yeah. So on my Caster Cliff Notes Corner, I realized recently that this has nothing to do with casters, even though there were casters involved.
Or corners.
No, there was no corners. I learned that when you switch between War Machine and Horse, when you go back and forth, that one of the systems you need to allocate focus, and the other system is really easy.
AKA better.
Yeah, probably better, too. So, yeah, I was... I finally put together my Earthbreaker and played it against Mehu and Makeda 3 and...
got a hardcore test.
Yeah, Thor tuned him up and, you know... Osram sniped him, and Earthbreaker walks forward into the zone and starts shooting Makeda. And then I try to boost. I try to
put a fury on
put Earthbreaker. Focus on him. Realized, that I hadn't allocated any focus. So that game didn't go very well. Makeda lived.
It's a pro tip right there.
Pro tip. Pretty,
well, my men off
pretty embarrassing.
War Machine Tactics, if that makes
that
anybody
helps.
Feel better.
Did you kickstart that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The nice thing about War Machine Tactics is it comes up with this nice little screen that says, do you want to allocate focus right now?
Mm-hmm. So you can't forget that. Like, so you can't skip that step.
So is it basically gameplay? Tabletop gameplay?
It's basically watered down.
Watered down, okay.
War Machine.
It's like you're playing 20-point lists where all the troopers have 20 health.
And the game takes 2 hours.
The game doesn't actually, when you get fast read, it doesn't. I played a game Menoth on Menoth, which is kind of boring, but it took about 35, 40 minutes.
Okay.
Did it not, Mayhew? You were there.
Yeah, I told you to pop and drop it so you can end the game quickly.
Well, it worked. So by the way, it like, take 30 to 40 minutes. No, it's stuff like...
Does Krios have like 7 focus?
Yeah,
like
he
normal?
Has that and you allocate focus. Some of the things are different when you cast a spell on, like, a unit. You're actually kind of casting it on that guy. Because all the, like, I'm using on my Flame Guard, they're all individuals. And, like, an Ironclad will take 3 hits to kill a Black Dragon.
What?
Or Iron Fang Pikeman, rather. Yeah, it's
confusing.
It's weird.
Because it would be sweet. I don't think they'd ever do it if they did, like, a Blood Bowl video game where it's... Exactly.
They did.
Not a video. Well,
no, they
no. I mean,
they
like how they did with Blood Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like
Blood Bowl.
You know, the video game is.
Oh, I got you.
The,
I thought you were saying that you would like a video game of
no.
Blood.
Oh no,
no the Blood Bowl.
I love Blood Bowl.
Video game is an exact translation of the game.
You can't love Blood Bowl,
which is why I can't wait for Mordheim.
You can love hate Blood Bowl, but you can't.
No.
Straight on.
I love it.
No, you don't.
I played dwarves in it.
You
have to love it.
Doesn't matter. Then you don't. You still don't love it. You think you love it.
No,
and
I
the
love
game
it.
Wants you to love it, and then it'll betray you.
Well, that's
it needs you
true.
To love it so it can hurt you more.
Ow.
That's accurate about...
You'll fail that go for it with a reroll on the goal line.
And then he'll die.
And then you'll flip the table and storm out of the store. I say that from personal experience.
But like all the War Machine Tactics, all the casters have the same spells. They cost about the same. They have about the same effects. They all have the same feats.
See, that's kind of lame to me. I don't know why. I haven't played it yet, but it's like
you can come over and play if you want.
Don't halvesies it. Like
yeah, I've watched a couple of games, and so far the multiplayer is unappealing to me. I mean, it's kind of pretty. But it's just kind of looks like a watered down version of War Machine that takes a long time. And it's a little bit more than a battle box game.
At this point, I'm wondering if Matt just kind of clicked through an NDA and didn't realize it, and then we can just edit out this entire part of the podcast.
No,
it's an open beta. So okay. At this point, everybody can talk about it. Yeah,
nice. Thought we should check on that.
But
went on Steam Early Access this past week. Maybe not this past week, and to the podcast listeners, but in our time. So, I mean, anybody could walk on Steam and just spend $65 and have early access to beta.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what the single-player story campaign looks like. I think that's where the game will shine.
Yeah, and they already said, like, as part of the Kickstarter, if you participate in the Kickstarter, there's two campaigns you get on top of the single-player campaign.
Nice.
So it seems like they're going to be constantly adding single-player campaigns, which is the only part for me that I'm actually looking forward to.
So it's going to be all DLC?
Yeah. It's probably. Like...
You get all paid DLC when you've already paid $65?
I don't think so. I imagine it's going to be you're paying for like big things. You're paying for like a whole new level set.
Well, they clarified that if you were a Kickstarter and you're like as Matt who paid $65 for beta access, you get all of the stretch goal content that they said. So he's going to get Rhett, he's going to get Mercs, he's going to get the initial wave of all the four factions. And the stories, et cetera.
And I think the Apotheosis Jacks.
And the Apotheosis Jacks and the Apotheosis the big base casters.
Yeah.
The Steam Early Access is they pay $65 and they get less than that. They don't get Rhett. I don't think they get the large base casters and stuff
like
that.
Do they get Mercs?
They get Mercs, yes.
All right, that's probably worth it then.
And then...
Because all I play is Mercs.
And then they said that they're going to do downloadable content after that on all, like, you know, if you want to add... Assault Commandos to the game, you have to spend so much dollars to get Assault Commandos.
See, that just seems kind of lame to me.
Well, they were justifying it on the fact that, like, if you only play Kador and War Machine Tactics, all you have to do is buy additional Kador units. I don't mind it being a heavy downloadable content game because, A, it's a pick and choose what you want to get. It's like an a la carte situation. But that means if they're trying to maintain the game as an active game that goes on for a few years where it's like, okay, here's another story campaign for 10, 12, 15 bucks. Here's another story campaign for 10, 12, 15 bucks. To me, that's value.
Yeah, but you're going to spend over $100 on a game that you're going to play for a few years.
I mean, that's my issue if it's that expensive. It's like, okay, I'm paying $65 initially for the game. Mm-hmm. After a year, I've played three scenarios and added one unit. Now I've paid $140. For this game.
Yeah, that seems kind of...
That seems much...
Lame.
Didn't you pay $140 for this game?
Well, I got all the...
I got everything.
I got all the minis, too. And I got dice.
Well, the minis are, you know, it's $50 off.
And
right?
Coins. How do you
and coins.
Coins.
I have to get coins. Speaking of which, if anybody has coins they don't want. No, okay. The thing that, honestly...
He's not.
Shut up. The thing that me and Carter talked about, which I think is completely accurate, is if you don't already play War Machine, I see very little in the game that's going to snare you.
But I thought that was one of their big draws. I thought that was going to be. Like, oh, look.
The problem
this
is,
really cool video game. Oh, there's a minis game based on this?
Yeah. Well, the thing that I think they messed up with is they kind of half-assed it both ways. It's very similar to the tabletop game without being
Table Cop.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's doing that movie later this year. Table Cop.
I'd go see that.
It's the sequel to Time Cop.
I saw Time Cop in the theater.
It's a table that travels through time.
Okay. And solves problems.
It solves problems.
Thank you, Mayor.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Paul.
His lesser-known brother.
Jean-Claude. He's on a split on the table and just rides it through time.
Okay. I still watch that movie. But if they were going to make it like a more dynamic version of War Machine to like snare the casual player, I think that would make more sense. As it stands, it's just kind of watered down.
What's wrong with you?
I was kind of hoping.
Carter's just over here still going, tabletop.
The way it was explained to me.
Yelling the whole time as he's traveling through like the time portal with like, his arm out in kung fu fashion.
That's racist.
Okay, so.
So the greatest moment I've ever had on podcasting history was yesterday. Last week.
Month.
You mean specifically the GigaCon recap episode that people have listened to already?
What? The GigaCon?
Yes. Yeah.
So I said something in an Asian accent, and Dr. Tran looked at me and goes, oh, yeah. Like a nod of approval. Like
from an official Asian.
From an official Asian.
And he's a doctor, so he's official.
Exactly. It was the best moment of my life.
I'm glad you had.
Normally,
your wife is sitting right over there when she heard you say that.
Crap.
Might be the last moment of your life.
The best podcasting moment of my life.
Yeah. Oh.
Seriously, gonna
love you. Okay. She hasn't finished her cup of coffee yet, so she's not awake yet.
I thought there was wine in there.
Not yet, but there will be.
Alternating
coffee and wine.
It's not Irish coffee. What's like white Zinfandel and coffee?
A terrible
gross
idea.
Like a South Beach coffee. Yeah.
South Beach coffee.
All right, so
this
I don't
is
think
the best opening segments for the podcast we've ever had.
Ever.
For those of you who've never lived in Florida, San Francisco coffee.
Okay. So we have a matchup this week. It's going to be Grisel 2, the Miserable Meat Mountain, versus Carver.
So I was thinking, since it's the Miserable Meat Mountain, it should be a theme force.
It should be, yeah. It just released the theme force.
Yeah, just released the theme force.
That one seems to get better.
Yeah. Yes.
What
it
you
does.
Do is unyielding becomes plus four armor.
No. Just small things like the limitations are you can't take any pigs.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You mean like pharaoh? Sure.
No, PYGs.
Oh, you mean like swine?
No.
No.
No. Pigs. Pigs.
You need to stop now, mate.
No, you can't take any pigs. You have to take a fell collar.
Okay.
And even if they did something like, you can't take any large base models, but the benefits are, you know, to make up for the lack of pigs and large
Warders
base models.
Warders are minus 2 points.
Yes.
Yeah. That
I'll even take, like...
And become field allowance unlimited.
Yeah. The only benefit I want is Warders or field allowance unlimited. Or three. Three's fine. Three is fine. Field allowance three is fine.
No. You're cherry picking a little bit. I would say honestly, no like orders. Make orders like 1 point cheaper.
I don't need them to be cheaper.
I like how you take the bold step, like, oh no, we'll give up all the pig units.
That's what I was going for.
And for that,
I was trying to
huge
think of
loss.
I was trying
well,
to think of all the things that aren't in that
models,
list.
You can't put Mulg in there.
I'm sorry, huge base models. That's what I was. That's what I was trying to say.
So you want
like battle wagon?
You want to make your list the official way to play it?
No.
And just get benefits to play exactly the way.
Why don't
you
throw
want.
In
no
circle units either?
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair, his
that
list is
sense.
The official way to play it.
The according yes.
Do you want to go into that?
No, we don't. We don't. We're good. Plus, I think I deleted my Facebook account. So there's no record of it. I'm just kidding.
So you wanted to get into Grisel 2 and who she is?
Yeah, we'll go into Grisel 2. No, not my list. The ideal list would be three warders instead of two warders and champions. And I think that's totally fair.
No.
Totally fair.
Nope.
Totally fair.
You do have less attack, so I'm kind of...
As a Crix
player, I don't care.
I love it. As a Gator player, I'd cry.
No. Yeah. Well, it would never... I never played against Crix. That's just silly talk. Okay, so Grisel 2.
Grisel 2.
Yes. She. It took some convincing to play her because she seemed kind of lame, like everybody else on the troll forums and everything like that.
Didn't she come out before Warder, so you kind of looked at her like, what is...
Yeah,
what's the point of this?
She did. And it she wasn't... I don't think she was good until Warders came out because you need... For the reasons we'll explain in a little bit, you need reach and you need high armor. Mm-hmm. Infantry and you're golden. So Grisel 2 is an epic warcaster. She has plus five army points. No, P Grissel's plus five. She's got plus six.
Grissel for you?
No, no. I want to. I got to see if I know this off my memory.
See if you can fumble through this.
So she's got all pretty good stats. Mat 7, blah, 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 blah.
Is she like to armor 17 base? Or
she's 15, 17 base.
Yeah.
For a beautiful 32.
And then she has her gun.
She has her gun, which is sweet. She's got three shots on it. Well, she's rate of fire three. She's rate of fire three. And she's got to buy it every time, and she can't do the same one twice. One is a spray 10, which is awesome. One's AOE 3 quake, so not if it's direct hit on an enemy model, which is something I always forget. Everything's knocked down, and everything on the board, just everything.
Everything on the board.
Yep.
Wow, that's
good. That would be sweet.
That's a good gun.
And then the other one's AOE 4. And it stays in play, and if you walk into it, an enemy walks into a POW 12, boom, to the face.
Yes, the fact that she has utility just on her range attacks by itself is kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't shoot enough with her. I got to figure out a way, because I always feel like I have to fill up the Krillstone cast dash.
It's like she has three good spells on her face.
Yeah, they're only, and one of them's free, and two of them are one cost.
Yeah.
She's rat 6, so it's not terrible.
Well, rat 6 on a boosting warcaster is pretty solid.
Yeah, but she doesn't have enough to boost any of them, which is something I figured out. And actually, Arcane Bolt isn't terrible on her either, because with the Rune Bearer, she can cast it for one, and it's 12 inches. I mean, her gun's only 8-inch range, or 10-inch with the spray.
So she has a lot of offensive range potential by herself.
She does. She definitely does. So her spells are Inhospitable Ground, which is actually decent on a 12-inch control radius.
Which is rough terrain in your control area that just wins you games sometime.
Yeah, Menoth doesn't like it at all. A lot of armies don't like it. Scorn doesn't like it that much, we've found out.
They have a lot of Pathfinder options, but getting it everywhere is kind of rough.
Yeah, that's the problem, is getting it everywhere. Circle doesn't care. It is my circle drop, though.
Yeah, because you face all of this.
Yeah, and actually, it's actually kind of nice to play against Circle with it, because you're like, okay, a Stalker might kill two warders, maybe, and it's a three-cost spell that I never have to cast, Inhospitable Ground. Yeah. So it's like I got all this free fury to do whatever I want. And she could hurt any Circle War Beast that's not a Wold. Right. With just with her gun. Oh, and she's Mat 7, POW 14. She can hurt some dudes too.
Yeah.
But she doesn't do any work. Unless she's shooting. Normally, hopefully.
Well, how this list plays, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. If she is getting in the thick of it, you're doing it wrong. Right.
Other spells does she have?
She has Dash. Which is a
phenomenal spell.
Which is a great spell. I recently learned the whole I can kill your caster with two champions with Dash up. Because the champions are up there and they're by themselves and all three of the other ones are dead. But put Dash, they can walk away from anything. And I almost killed Makeda. I can't believe.
It's plus one speed and immune to free strikes. It's huge on all infantry army. It's like you can never tie up this army. You can't tie it up. It just doesn't happen.
You know what Dash might be fun on is Pigs.
Oh, yes.
On Pharaoh, which is what I hear is coming out. So
she better be awesome.
Brigands can walk back and shoot.
For all we know, we might even have the Exigence books by the time this podcast airs.
That's actually possible.
Is it going to be at Gen Con?
Maybe. From what I can tell, it's probably on the September release schedule.
Then maybe it's a Gen Con.
So probably,
maybe.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
So so she's got Inhospitable Ground, she's got Dash, and she has Arcane Bolt, which is range 12, POW 12, I think.
So the important thing about her, why don't you tell us how her feat works?
Her feat is pretty meh in Trolls.
POW 11, by the way.
POW 11. Thank you. It was pretty meh in Trolls until the Warders came out. Because what it is everybody in her, everybody under her, every friendly faction in her control area gets hyper aggressive. So if you get damaged, you can move directly towards whoever damaged you. and ranged or melee or magic. Like I didn't know that. I thought it was just ranged. And unyielding. So if you're engaging enemy model, you get +2 armor, which on champions is okay, because I guess that's how that she was run before. Fenblades, it's not very good, and only gets them up to 18 if you got the stone that far forward, because they get up there pretty far. It's really good on reach. On reach.
On warders.
Warders, yeah.
It's really good on warders.
I had a brain fart for a second.
Well, the thing is, like, the common thing is trolls getting armor buff is stupid. Trolls getting armor buff on things that can spike armor, which is warders, is really dumb.
But it's... She would be played by every troll caster if it was just a solid +2 armor instead of unyielding. Because there's ways to, you know, get around it. You just...
I'm pretty sure you already have your +2 armor buff, so...
I want another one.
Warders are armor 17, right?
They're 17 base.
So with the in the Krillstone aura, they go to 19.
Yep.
If they are engaging, they go to 21.
Yep.
And if they have someone in battle has been damaged, they get another +2 armor to go to 23.
23.
With hyper aggressive and 8
wounds. A lot of ifs, though.
That's a lot of ifs.
That's
that
a
all
solid
happen.
Couple ifs. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big if that somebody's going to, you know, want to try to hit you before you get into contact with them.
The fact that as soon as you take damage, they bump up to 21, and they bump up to 21 without having to do a shield wall order is phenomenal.
Which is nice because you can spread them out and do all that stuff.
Right, and on a caster that increases their speed and lets them be immune to free strikes.
Yeah.
Does Dash give Pathfinder?
No.
No.
Okay. Battle Driven does. Okay, so my list is E. Gristle. It's Molg, a Rune Bearer, an Axer, a unit of champions, full unit, two full units of warders, the full unit of Krillstone with the Elder, a Chronicler, and a Fellcaller. I think that's it.
Stonescribe Chronicler?
Yeah, Stonescribe Chronicler. He is the linchpin of the list. Because, honestly, 5 POW 12, sometimes 13 weapon masters in a unit is not enough. So you got to get that Chronicler in there for Charge of the Trolls, get him up to POW 15 weapon masters. Then you're killing stuff.
He's just a phenomenal solo.
He is.
What little dabbling I've done in Trolls, also known as Gunbjorn, the Chronicler just has so much with the...
Concealment.
Basically,
and
the mini Sacrosanct, where, what is that, the
Hero's
Tragedy?
Hero's Tragedy.
Yeah, where anyone that kills a model, or is it kill or just hit in melee?
It's destroy.
It's kill.
Destroys. Gets knocked down. Feigned Death.
It's only warrior model, just...
Having Feigned Death on a tough army is also a big deal. Not as much here, because you're going with the armor stacking and multiple wounds, but in a lot of trolls be like, oh, I made my tough roll, can't target me anymore with ranged attacks. I've been really impressed with the Chronicler.
And this is like one of the best SKU lists in the game, in my opinion. Because the game, this list says, you're not shooting me off the table. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're Menoth with Battled Reckoners. You're not shooting me off the table before I get stuck in.
And it's almost as good as that, as Lucan.
I think it's better than Lucan in that particular game plan.
Anti-shooting?
As far as like also being able to absorb. You've absorbed Xerxes' feet. I got a
power. Well, true. Yeah, but if we're talking about shooting, the con's better at that. But yes.
But when what it can absorb, and then it's retaliation, because everything in your list is weapon master, so you don't necessarily need the charge.
I would actually disagree on the whole Lucan's better at absorbing shooting, only because of hyper-aggressive. Like, I'm a big fan of shooty armies, and with Lucan, you have the option to kind of bide your time during that feat turn, or maybe focus. I feel against your list, it's much more difficult because if I am trying to focus or do that, I'm going to be getting engaged, which is the nightmare for most shooting armies. The fact that you're getting that extra movement where Lucan doesn't, I know he has better armor maybe.
The problem with that is the only unit that is good against, or there's a few units where that's good against. It's really good against Zealots because you have to get up and close up close and personal to be able to launch your little stupid grenades and blood trackers. That's the only ones that hyper-aggressive. That's like the only unit the hyper-aggressive works on. Because the other ones, they're way outranging a 4-inch move by a warder.
Yeah, but you're still extending your threat range. Yeah, that's 4 inches you didn't have before.
It's the follow-up charge that Signar's terrified about. Like, I'm shooting you, and now I'm putting you into run or charge range with dash
and how many,
to get that engagement.
How many units are honestly killing multiple warders with range attacks?
Not many. Not many. You unless know, maybe, they're Pete freaking Denny.
Like,
but, Pete
Denny
but I'm not dropping
Leviathan or something. But even then, like the Nis Hunters, even at POW 15, dice minus 6, might put 1 damage on you. Walk, 1 damage, walk, 1 damage, walk.
I know, as a guy who loves the ranged units of Signar, I would rather be fighting Lucant than be fighting your Crissel list.
Even with like auto repair and all
it's
his craziness?
Well, it's Mehu, so usually wait for like Lucant to like just move like 2 inches in the wrong direction.
Oh, speaking of...
you punch him in the face repeatedly.
On the GigaCon episode, we were talking about... You talked about Lucant because you played him a bunch.
Yeah.
It was so long ago. wife came by as we were podcasting and said, "Is he saying the C word?" So I thought that was funny to throw that in there. She was honest, like too.
I don't think I have. All right, do we have anything else we want to discuss about the Miserable Meat Mountain?
It's super popular right now, and I have a feeling that it's going to be out of the meta sometime after... What's the big one after Gen Con?
What, Nova?
War Machine Weekend?
War Machine Weekend.
I think by War Machine Weekend, it's going to start fading out because everybody's teching for it, I think.
I think armor comes and goes. I mean, I saw it with the Colossals when Colossals came out.
Yeah, like, you're right. It's definitely an ebb and flow, but I think by then it'll be out because... All it is, right? I mean, there's a lot of people playing Fist of Alok. There's a lot of people playing Lucant, and there's a lot of people playing. I mean, everybody's meat mountaining up in their own way, shape, or form. So I like it. It's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of fun to say. So what armor are those guys right now? 23.
I'm really happy I can dodge it on the podcast, and
I love playing against Menoth, and they're like, so dice minus, and I'm like 14. That is a lot of fun.
And Jeff will tell you 8 damage.
Yeah. He will. He will. But I hear
mathematically
the...
mathematically right here. 8 damage.
I like hearing no damage. Hit. No damage. Hit. No damage. It's just music to my ears.
Yeah. No, this is probably your best played list, too.
Well, it's because I play it more than anything else.
Well, and you've been playing it since it was a thing. I'm not going to say that you may have come up with the fundamentals of the list.
No, I didn't.
Separately of than certain people, but
you didn't
around the same time that you started playing Miserable Mountain, it kind of exploded.
Yeah, yeah,
and you've got a lot of practice into it, and it's a solid list.
Yeah, and this incarnation of the list is all, you know. If you guys listen to Muse on Mini, Chad Schonkweiler, I totally ripped it off him, except I have a Fellcaller instead of Scaldi or whoever he has in there. But E-Gristle has been something I've been wanting to play for a while.
Is it a caterpillar? Wow, that's awesome.
That is a huge caterpillar.
What are you going to do with them?
Holy cow, there's 2 of them.
No, they're all over the special.
Really?
Well, don't kill it.
Luna's hungry.
So,
I'm editing all this out.
Okay. We can do that. What else were we going to say about Gristle? Awesome,
we're done with Gristle.
Okay.
She's dead to me.
Yeah, we're done with Gristle.
Just so people know, there's 2 forms of Meat Mountain, apparently, that are popular. And one of them is, instead of Molg, Axer, it's Bomber Impaler. And then something else thrown in there. I don't know what it would be, but it would be a couple points.
Bomber Impaler just, I guess, gives you the option of just hanging back right behind your lines and just kind of being a tool.
Molg doesn't... The thing with Molg, I feel like the list has to have Molg. Or if Privateer Press would ever release another Reach Troll Warbeast.
Good luck.
Sweet. With something. I don't... It doesn't even have to have an Animus.
Rock is swinging around a hammer the size of an axe the size of a warder and does not have Reach.
Don't talk bad about Rock.
I love Rock. I love Rock and Roll.
I can see the Molgless version for Masters.
He's awesome.
What?
I can see the Mulg list version for Masters, so you free up Mulg for another list. Like, you can do Runes of War and Meteon.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
that makes sense.
Insert
other I can see how a Bomber and Impaler would actually be really good.
I just, the whole thing about when you take on another Meat Mountain or another Meat Mountain-esque list is, one, you have to keep Mulg safe. He has to get the alpha on something. So your warders or your champions take it in the face, and then Mulg cleans up. It's the only way to get through a Prime Axiom. It's the only way to get through Hyperion. It's the only way to get this list, because I don't think POW 12s up to POW 15s are going to do it. So I just feel like, at least with the meta we have around here, I could not win any game against most of the players here without Mulg.
But you're going to have trouble against like Kayazi or something like that, because Meat Mountain's going to have trouble hitting it. Whereas if you're using a Bomber and you're throwing out just templates, it's going to take them a while to get to you, and you're messing them up.
Yeah, I feel like Gristle could do some work on some Kayazi already.
She's got an AoE 4 and 3 and a spray she can throw out. Well, the spray is probably not going to do too much, but
the spray usually kills a champion or a warder in my in my luck. The way I roll on my own dudes, it's like amazing. I'm really good at killing warders and
also,
champions.
Also, he can just
in
make his
butt.
Guys mat 9.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, I can, like Pirate Captain saying, I can see the play
for
a Bomber and Impaler. And also,
I just
like,
feel like...
Mayhew's saying, freeing it up for...
And that was the version that Jeff played against at GigaCon, and the guy was using it well, bombing the just Bastions and putting lots of damage on those mm-hmm. units.
I think we can move on, though, to the other list, because this is a rare event. Matt, who I like to call the Halley's Comet of War Machine, is going to be making an appearance, so you might want to save this episode.
You're going to be bad. I'm going to, like, stumble ass first into Masters and somehow win, and you're going to be mad.
You know
I
that's
told
ridiculous
you.
Thing.
I told he won't, you I will not be mad.
He won't be there.
I told you could win or lose, and I don't care, as long as you are actually wanting to play a game.
I'm going to play Relic Knights. We'll play that all the time.
And some, oh, we got some BattleCon.
You got said, some BattleCon.
You said that about War Machine a while ago.
Did I?
You? Yeah,
several
probably.
Times.
Probably.
Lots of things. About different guessing. Factions. I'm willing to paint and get really good at insert faction here, has been uttered from your mouth.
Well, I feel that Mayhew did you a disservice, though, of introducing simply as Carver. And as I understand, that is not Carver's full
yes,
name.
That is not Carver's full name. He is, in fact, Lord Carver, BMMMD, Esquire the Third. BMMD being bringer of most massive destruction.
Yep.
Which is damn solid.
That's the best name in War Machine.
It is the best
Mormon
name
words.
In
So, why don't
probably
you explain Carver to
War
us?
Gaming.
Carver is the first and at this point still the best Pharaoh caster.
You don't like Sturm und Drang?
Sturm und Drang I don't think is bad.
Sturm und Drang OP.
The problem is Sturm und Drang just doesn't They don't have the survivability.
If Sturm und Drang were one caster...
Node. They don't have an arc node, yeah.
If Sturm und Drang were one caster instead of two half-casters, it would be... That would be
I don't,
incredible.
I played them in a tournament, and I did okay with them, you know. But, yeah, without an arc node, telekinesis is not as... I mean, he's a focus 7, and the other problem is his feet. If I'm not playing against hordes, it's not as
yeah.
good.
Hey, guess what? You're playing Nance Hordes.
I am. I also really like Midas. I think Midas is solid.
I actually remember
Jeff and Krios 3. Seven
units of Bone Grinders.
Okay, I'll
the goal.
You buy me Bone Grinders, and I will play that.
I have one.
Tournament.
I have two.
I have one.
I have two units you can borrow.
No, I got to play Jeff with Midas, and I told him what my feet did at the beginning of the game. Jeff is a real big fan of, okay. So on Midas's feet
would
turn,
you say a lot of things go over his head?
Jeff's tiny. So I feet with Midas.
He has a really nice beard though.
And he does. And I bring back 5 war beasts.
It tickles my belly button as he walks by.
And, well, you don't do it anymore. That was his wife. No, I bring back 5 war beasts, and I kill Krios 3, and the whole time he's kind of got his mouth open. He's like, "What? What's happening?"
Did you get the satisfying Jeff sigh? Because both
so
you
satisfying.
And Jeff have just a
yeah.
phenomenal sigh.
Yeah, I did it, and he was like, let me see the card. And I was like, I showed you the card at the beginning of the game. You just apparently didn't read it.
So what does Carver do?
So yes. Carver, once again, like I said, he's the first of the Pigcasters, so he doesn't have a whole lot of like special abilities. He gives brigands combined range, which actually makes them really solid.
That would be sweet if they had dash.
It would be sweet if they had dash.
And combined ranged.
She's not going to give them combined range, too.
No, but that would be sweet.
That would be sweet.
No, she's going to have unit fire for effect.
I'd be fine with that, too.
That. And
he has inspiration Pharaoh, so Pharaoh in his control area, or command range. Never flee and rally. He's pretty solid. He's a mat 7. He's a mat 7, defense 15, armor 17. He's got tough. All the pigs have tough. Well, sort of. But he's got his shotgun, which is a spray 6, which he can special attack for to make it a pow 16. And he has the Hand of God, which is just freaking solid. It's reach pow 15. So he can punch stuff pretty well.
Did you say his defensive stats are 15-17?
15-17.
That is phenomenal.
That's Trollcaster right there.
Which is really solid, because his spells, he has Batten Down the Hatches, which gives everyone plus 3 armor and minus 2 defense. That makes him a paltry 13-20.
Battle group, right?
Battle group.
Battle group.
And you can't be knocked down.
20 with transfers is awful sometimes.
He's actually
21 pretty, with transfers is pretty good, too.
Yes. He's pretty hard to assassinate. He has mobility, which plus 2 speed and Pathfinder to the battle group, which... When you watch the game, I'll end up casting Batten Down the Hatches and mobility pretty much every turn.
Yeah, mobility is not a great spell.
I think mobility is a great spell.
When you're on the other side and you have inhospitable ground.
You let him finish.
Sorry. He has Quagmire, which is a 2-cost spell. It's his only upkeep. While in base-to-base with target-friendly faction model unit, enemy models suffer minus 2 defense and cannot advance except to change facing.
It's also a dash, an anti-dash spell.
It's also great. Yay. It's like admonition and live, and you're just like,
yes, yeah, just that's. Like,
do we know of any? Is there any other casters that have that spell?
Quagmire?
Yeah.
No, it's only him.
Because I think that's just a phenomenal little utility piece to have there, and can really screw up some people's game plans if they're not ready for it.
Hopefully, the only thing that Jaga has it.
My only complaint is it's not melee; it's base to base. So sometimes you really got to make sure you can get.
Oh no, Slaughterhausers with the 2-inch Quagmire.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be fair. No big deal.
Yeah.
It is pigs, if it was any other faction, I guess.
Well, and we've talked about it with like the Who's the Boss tournament. You put Carver in a couple other factions, and he is absolutely
I want him in Trolls.
You mean specifically Trolls?
Yeah. Yeah. So bad. So bad.
And he has Rift, a spell made famous by Chromac. AoE 4, POW 13, Rough Terrain remains in play for
it's
a round.
It's my favorite AoE spells because it's cheap and it's AoE 4.
Oh, it's an awesome spell. The problem is Carver's spells cost 3, 2, 2, 3, then he's a 6-foot fury caster.
How is 3 cheap?
For an AoE spell?
For the amount of damage
it
can do.
Obliteration's 4. A lot of the 3-inch AoEs are 2 or 3.
Oh,
so you're
okay.
Talking about a 4-inch AoE that costs 3.
Ah, okay. I don't even believe in spells. I mean, it's
fair.
I just unless they're buffs, that's it.
The first of the hog puns, which come through the Pharaoh, like just about on every unit, is his feat, which is Hog Heaven. While in your control area, friendly Pharaoh models gain overtake and an additional die on melee damage rolls. So when you get it like Slaughterhausers who already have finisher. You know, they're coming in on a charge with 5 dice.
Yep.
You know, I killed the Avatar with 3 Slaughterhausers.
It's a great feat because not only does it allow you to skew damage output, but it also gives you even anti-infantry because the Warhog's Animus is Massacre plus feat plus overtake. You can even chew up some dudes that way.
Yeah, we've seen you do some just horrendous things with Warhog on the feat before.
I played Adam Stewart in a tournament, and I killed all of his Winter Guard with one Warhog that massacred. And he's sitting there, he's like, can he really do that? I'm like, yeah. He's like, wow, that's really awesome.
Carver's a really good caster.
He is. He's a very good caster.
So what's in your list?
My list is Lord Carver with Targ. Targ is his attachment.
Targ.
Targ is awesome. The problem is Targ is a character, whereas all the other cool attachments are not.
Market's a character.
You only play one pig list.
He has a point.
this is true.
But if I wanted to play in a tournament, I couldn't put Targ in anyone else's.
No, anybody who plays minions only has one pig list. That's how it works. It's in
Carver.
The contract.
Yeah, it's Carver. Targ has ancillary attack. We all know what that does. He has hurting, so you can use him to kind of tether, you know, warhogs and whatnot a little bit farther away
out there.
And he has Medicaid. You know, he's solid. He's 2 points. Honestly,
he's got a big hand.
He does have a big hand and a knife. I have a tendency to use him for ancillary attack on the warhog or the roadhog. Excuse me.
It is nice when you, because you're a pig war beast, you fail to kill something with one hit left. You just need one more hit, and then Targ runs up there and actually makes the beast worth taking.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a roadhog, which is a converted warhog, because I think the roadhog is a terrible model.
You don't like pigs with goggles?
You know what? And you know what? It's not even the goggles that I mind. He's all spindly and he has a stupid claw. I don't like anything about him.
He's really worried about getting smoked. That's why he has goggles.
I hate you. He's 12-18, like all the big pigs are. He has a spray 10, POW 12, continuous effect fire, and 214 attacks. Crit knockdown on his tusks. His animus is lightning strike. Which
a really good animus.
It's kind of cool.
In circle.
Do it. His benefit, spray 10, continuous effect with assault. He also has his little boost, which is full bore. He can get +2 speed.
So between mobility and full bore, you can assault really far forward.
He can be up to speed 9.
Yeah.
Then you
12 inches and then
yeah, 12
spray
inches 10. And then spray 10. Yeah.
And set your caster, enemy's caster
and with
on
assault,
fire.
If you ever get like the beautiful assault where you don't hit your charge target in, or you have something you can still punch,
yeah,
and absolutely. You can lightning strike yourself away. So you have 3 warhogs.
Then I have 3 warhogs. I imagine everyone knows what warhogs do.
Yeah, the massacre animus.
No, actually,
I would never expect anyone to know what
okay,
minion stuff does.
Yeah, unless they're gators.
Warhogs, they hit really hard. They're only 8 points. They have 2 POW 16s and a POW 15. Their little boost is they tweak their nipple and get +2 strength.
You do know you have the force for that, right?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And you have to physically
tweak
the nipple.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's right where the little thingy is. And they have Masker, which we talked about. You can charge without being forced. It's a 2-cost animus. And if you kill something with your charge attack, you get to move an additional inch and make another attack.
Which is not Warbeast specific, so you can cast it on Slaughterhousers if you want.
You can cast it on Slaughterhousers. I have Saxon Oryk, who's there to give a unit of Slaughterhousers Pathfinder.
Always good.
Yeah.
And occasionally shoot that. That's fine. I have a minimum unit of Brigands. Brigands are actually pretty awful, but with combined range, because they're only Rat 5, their Pig Irons are range 10, POW 12, so they actually hit kind of hard, so with combined range, they're POW 14.
This is the best use of them because they can advance deploy.
Yeah, they advance deploy, dig in.
And do their dig in.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like Brigands, and I think that there's theoretically an opportunity out there, Warlock, that if you just get them any kind of attack buff. Granted, I come from like a shooting background, and anytime I see Assault and Battery, or in their case, Hog Wild, I get immediately jealous. Anytime you're allowed to make a ranged attack followed by a move and a melee attack.
Yeah. Helga has Deadeye. How does that make you
there
feel?
We go.
Yeah,
deal.
They can
she
do three things. They can either do Heroic Call, where they get fearless and tough. They can do Hog Wild, which like you were saying. And they can gain Pathfinder for a turn. But most of the time, they're doing fearless and tough. Next, you got Slaughterhousers, which are Reach, POW 11s, 6 guys in a unit, tough and fearless.
Finisher.
They have Finisher.
Advanced plan or the contract, I mean.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. They have powerful charge, so they can become Mat 8 on a charge, which
that's
is pretty
good.
Which is pretty solid. And they have takedown, and everybody hates takedown. And finally, have bone grinders, which are I believe the cheapest unit in the entire game.
No.
Five guys for 3 points?
The pain gobbers
are 6 guys for 3 points.
The Swamp Bellows crew.
There's a lot of stuff that's 0.5 point a model.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're your support.
I will
models.
Say an
Strap Thralls are actually, well, they're technically that unit, but it's 3 guys for 1 point.
Talking about takedown.
That's crazy.
Slaughterhousers may be the only unit I can think of that has takedown that actually will use takedown.
I used
on Grim.
Hunter's Grim.
You get in there and
yeah.
Because it's only on melee attacks.
I was playing against Thagrosh and got a Carnivian down to like 2 health points and charged with Hunter's Grim.
Now, I don't want to knock the other amazing takedown unit, which is Denon Blythe and Bull.
Yeah.
Scythian has takedown on its Animus.
That's true, and that's legit.
Yeah. That's solid. And then Bone Grinders, which have a magic attack, which I will never use, unless things are going really poorly. Yeah, I get it. Seven units of Bone Grinders.
They slay Kazi Assassins. We have determined.
Yeah, that's true. In that game against Adam Stewart, it's 3 out of 4.
Isn't it a 9? Bone Grinders isn't it a magic attack 9?
It's a magic attack of 6+1 for every guy.
Yeah, so 9
of it. Yeah, conceivably.
That's a really.
By the
good
time I'm using that, I'm in a lot of trouble.
7 of them. 7 pal 12.
At least you have it in late game if
I
you
do
need to.
And I've used it. Magically and 9 well with it, but.
And they're a nice little screen for your caster too.
What? Yeah, and that's usually what they do. You guys will see in the video that that Carver hangs out behind Bone Grinders.
And Craft Talisman's also awesome on Carver for the Rift.
Craft Talisman gives him +2 range mm-hmm. on stuff if I want to try to throw a Rift. Like, way the hell out there to slow you down. And they can cast the Animus of a dead war beast, which is really cool with Midas.
Yeah, actually. And this is really his plan. They're not just in here because he forgot to paint Alton Ashley.
Yeah,
he's a big supporter.
I am.
Bone Grinders.
So you've played this list a lot. This is probably the
I have played this list a lot.
This is probably
I have a painted
Alton
Ashley if you
want
to sub that in.
Do you have any experience with this list that you would like to share or any thoughts that you have?
I played against Meat Mountain. We played a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was actually a really tight game. I think it was fun.
It was definitely fun.
I think it's an interesting matchup because Carver can kick out a lot of damage, and Grissel can take a lot of damage.
Yeah.
Grissel has a little bit of trouble dealing with battened warhogs.
Yeah, those aren't fun.
Mike just got super almost rage quit when he just couldn't kill. He couldn't kill hogs with Legion stuff. He's like, well, I'll send a couple raptors out. That'll take care of that. I'm like, I don't think so.
That's kind of par for the course, though.
Yeah. But
until Pirate Captain came along and gave him the Legion list.
I am so psyched. I'm pretty much, as you probably heard, I do not really compete. I don't see myself in the same level as a lot of the guys here. I have a lot of fun. And I just love creating lists. So I usually joke that my lists have 60% worth of good ideas, and Mike has recently run with some crazy list I've made and is making it work. So we got to get some Prime Lilith from Mike on here and making some babies with some incubi.
Yeah, that's the name of the list, making babies.
Which means I have to paint a lot of Legion.
And on that note, just to point out, I am not a good player. So just throwing that out there. These guys are way better than
they me. Already know that I'm not, so...
So I'll probably lose today.
This will be a great.
That's why we match
you guys
a great
up. Game.
Yeah.
A gimp off.
Cripple fight.
So if that's everything we have,
I think so.
Then thank you for listening to episode 6 of Enter the Crucible. Join us next week for the video.
Only 6? I thought we were further than that.
You want the meat or the gristle?